With Montana News, I'm Rachel Kramer. A Montana Roman Catholic diocese is filing for bankruptcy protection as part of an unfolding settlement with 72 people who filed sex abuse claims. Darren Olchin is chancellor of the Diocese of Great Falls Billings. Olchin says the diocese and its insurance carriers would contribute to a fund to compensate victims and set aside additional money for those who have not yet come forward.
We started to take beginnings out to settle the large abuse lawsuits facing the diocese, entered into mediation, and today, as part of that agreement, filed for bankruptcy today.
Two sexual abuse lawsuits were filed against the Diocese of Great Falls Billings, one in February 2012 and another the following June. Bishop Michael Warfelt said in a statement that he apologizes to anyone who was abused by a priest, a sister, or a lay church worker. The Diocese of Helena, the only other diocese in the state, filed for bankruptcy in early 2014 to settle about 360 claims of abuse and sexual abuse by priests, nuns, and lay workers who served in the diocese. That settlement created a $21 million fund for victims named in the lawsuit and any others that might come forward. Democrats have failed in a last-ditch effort to let counties conduct the May 25th special congressional election by mail. House Democrats today tried to use a tactic called blasting to have a measure debated by the full chamber. The defeat means election clerks across the state must scramble to prepare for the election, including printing ballots, securing polling places, and hiring thousands of poll workers. Fiscal conservatives in the Montana House have rejected an infrastructure bill that contained $78 million in bonding. Today's defeat puts pressure on the legislature and Governor Steve Bullock to draft a consensus plan palatable to fiscal conservatives, who find bonds hard to swallow, and to Democrats, who insist on keeping several big-ticket projects in the package. With the House measure falling 65-35, two votes short of the two-thirds needed, lawmakers will have to work with a Senate version that barely advanced to the House. The Senate version proposes $98 million in bonding, which would almost certainly be a deal killer for some House Republicans. Repairing roads, bridges, sewer, and water systems has long been a priority, but differences over which projects should be financed and how has stymied efforts to pay for the work. In this tight budget year, a Montana lawmaker is looking for a way to lower the state's suicide rate without spending any state funds. Cole Grant reports.
Republican Representative Ken Holmland of Miles City lost a son to suicide in 1989 and now is an advocate for prevention. He presented his concept of OPEN, spelled with an extra N, on the House floor Friday in announcing a public meeting at the Capitol Monday at noon. It stands for Observe, Protect, Engage, Nurture, and Notify. The aim is to get teenagers involved in preventing suicide among themselves.
This is not a bill. This will not be using state money. This is intended to be totally nonpartisan.
He says he sees problems with legislating this sort of thing.
I think it can be way beyond what a bill could do, because a bill would be a structured situation, and I don't see that as being the way that this is going to go.
Holmland says he expects people from the governor's office, the Office of Public Instruction, and DPHHS at Monday's meeting.
Cole Grant is a reporter with the UM Legislative News Service. I'm Rachel Kramer, Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. Governor Steve Bullock and members of his staff interviewed candidates for the job of Montana's next Commissioner of Political Practices this afternoon. Corn Cates Carney reports.
Governor Bullock spent a little over 10 minutes in each of his interviews with Benjamin Tiller, an attorney with the State Auditor's Office, and Jeff Mangan, a former Democratic legislator. The governor, his chief of staff, and chief legal counsel took turns asking Tiller and Mangan a handful of questions about their opinions on Montana's campaign finance disclosure laws, approach to enforcement of those laws, and ideas for improving the work of the office. The Commissioner of Political Practices oversees Montana's campaign, ethics, and lobbying regulations. The governor hasn't announced a timeline for his selection. Whoever the governor picks for the job will replace Jonathan Modell, whose term ended in January. The governor's pick must be confirmed by the Senate. I'm Corin Case Carney, Montana Public Radio.
About 50 people attended a public meeting in Livingston earlier this week to discuss the closure of 183 miles of the Yellowstone River late last summer when a parasite killed tens of thousands of fish. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports business owners at Wednesday's panel discussion said the state should communicate better and have a clearer plan for reopening the river if a similar closure is needed. When the fish began dying in mid-August, the state banned all recreation on a section of the river in an effort to prevent the spread of the parasite. The closure was gradually lifted, but a University of Montana economist estimated Park County lost about $500,000 in visitor spending. Regional Fisheries Manager Travis Horton says now that they've had the experience with a major die-off, future management decisions might be different. Fire season is, for many people, a single season, but a team of resource managers and homeowners in the Flathead Valley is trying to change that. Nikki Ouellette reports.
FireSafe Flathead is a group of firefighters, emergency planners, state and federal resource managers, and homeowner association members who meet monthly to plan a more proactive, community-based response to the threat of wildfire.
There are a lot of people who think about fire, talk about fire, work with fire year-round.
Allie Ulwilling is a fire prevention specialist for the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation based in Kalispell.
Part of creating those fire-adapted communities is recognizing that there's more to a fire season than July, August, September.
FireSafe Flathead's March meeting on Friday focused on how best to connect people living in fire-prone areas with resources available to them to protect their personal property. FireSafe Flathead is planning public events this spring to educate homeowners on best practices, like clearing brush away from structures and meeting with homeowner associations to conduct property assessments. The group is also revising the Flathead County Community Wildfire Protection Plan, which will be ready for public comment later this year. FireSafe Flathead will host a presentation and Q&A called Era of Megafires on April 25th at Flathead Valley Community College at 6 p.m. More information is on our website at mtpr.org. I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.